Welcome, everyone. My name is Gianna Robustiano.
And I'm Christina Boschman.
And we are manifesting miracles together. Today, we're talking all about fear.
Ooh, scary.
Ooh, spooky.
We were talking earlier about fear and fear and worry and how worry builds fear and fear builds worry.
Yes.
And they just keep building on each other. If mm-hmm. you kind of think of it, you know that Jenga game?
Oh,
where
yeah.
things are piled on top of each other and it mm-hmm. starts at the bottom and then you build it up with the fear and then you worry about that and then it turns into more fear, which turns yeah. into more worry. And I've always said that worry is the biggest waste of imagination.
Oh, yeah. You spend a lot of time, or you not spend a lot of time, you can drain yourself tremendously by spending a lot of time worrying on stuff. Trust yeah. me, I know this.
Yeah, and what is your fear acronym?
False evidence appearing real. That's a nice little acronym. I remember seeing that for the first time years ago, and I'm like, wait a second, that makes so much sense, because a lot of the stuff that we have in our minds, they don't happen. Like, we could think of the most absurd, like, catastrophic thoughts within our mind, and then they just don't come true.
Exactly.
I used to do that all the time. I mean, I still do that, honestly, time to time, I'll think. But I'm able to recognize it. I'm like, I'm catastrophic thinking right now. It's nothing, but I know it's just crazy thoughts coming through and I don't have to like spend too much time on them.
I always wonder too. I mean, there's so much in the news always because, I mean, let's face it, fear sells advertising.
Yes.
And if you don't understand what we mean when we say that, is fear gets you to react. Mm-hmm. It gets you to do something. So if you're looking through a news feed and it says 5 kittens saved from a fire, or it says grandmother saved by 5-year-old, or it says catastrophic blizzard moving in with life-threatening cold, which one are you going to pick?
Yeah, you're going to pick the last one, most likely.
More than likely, mm-hmm. because our bodies are programmed to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm.
We have that negativity bias, which is our bias that belongs to our body, that we have a fear that's from this negativity because our bodies are programmed to protect themselves. And everything builds on that.
It does. I mean, just think, we mentioned this a couple episodes ago, but think about the big toilet paper scare back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing about that on the news, that we were gonna not have any toilet paper for some reason, toilet paper, specifically toilet paper, and then there just wasn't any on the shelves. We acted on that fear because we saw it. And then people were out buying an absurd amount of toilet paper, not leaving it for anybody else. And so just thinking about that, that generated that fear, and then it happened.
Exactly. And the interesting thing about that is, like, I worked in advertising for 11, 12 years. So I became supremely, I remember when I first started working, being so surprised at why copy was written the way that it was. And why certain words were used in advertising. So you're going through and when you click on that link that talks about a catastrophic storm coming in with life-threatening cold, you click on that, immediately ads come up. And I think I checked with my daughter-in-law to get the fact, because I don't remember because it changes all the time and I haven't been in the business in about 5 years now. But when you click on that, when you see an ad come up, if it's on your phone for a second, I think it's 1 second, she said, or 3/4 of a second, whatever, the advertiser gets charged.
Oh.
Yeah. So this is what, because they don't get charged until it's been on your screen for a certain period of time.
I didn't know this.
So a lot of times when ads will come up and I know I'll never buy it, I zip by it really quick so that the advertiser doesn't get charged because that feels wrong to me.
Yeah.
So, but that is it. And I think I've mentioned this before with the 700 plus power words that convert. And what that means in the advertising business is that those words will make people react. And there's different, like there's love, of course, there's lust. And each one of those has like a page or three quarters of a page of words. And there's other categories. But the biggest category is fear. There's two full pages of fear words.
Wow.
Because fear sells better even than lust.
Oh, definitely. That is so crazy to think about. And even think about that in your own life. Think about the videos that you click on in your own newsfeed, or if you're on YouTube and you see something pop up on your homepage and it has a title that kind of has that fear element to it. Like, be aware of that, what you're engaging with, because it's going to kind of get you to like, ooh, what's that about? And do I need to be worried? What's happening in the world? Kind of whatever it is that they're trying to sell or
right.
put out there for you to see.
Right. And I think about that all the time. And I really felt like the pandemic was such a good example.
It was.
That.
It definitely was. And to think, like, back to the toilet paper thing, and then us talking about fear, like, most of that stuff doesn't come true. Like, yes, there wasn't any toilet paper on the shelf, but what, like, how about, how do the shelves look today? They're there. They're all there.
Right.
Everything's there. Like, I guess what my point is like, it wasn't ever gone.
Right.
It was just, like, probably everyone took everything at once and then you needed to wait for everything to ship over, or however that works.
Right.
I don't know how that works, but basically thinking like that fear, we kind of fed into it and then it happened because we acted on it, but also it wasn't ever gone. It was just that everyone went in at once and kind of freaked out.
Right. Exactly.
For that one specific thing, and hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I remember telling my husband when that was all gone on, because I studied so much neuroscience and I studied about experiments and things that have gone on through the last 40, 50 years, like on minds and brain, trying to see what people will buy and what they won't buy, you know, in their brain. And I remember about 5 weeks into the pandemic saying to my husband, like, oh my God, this is psychological warfare. Because remember, it was a 2-week shutdown. And then it's like, we're going to shut down for 2 more weeks. And then, oh my God. And having known all that about fear and having been in advertising for that much time. And so I started checking revenue, and the revenues were going crazy in the ad business.
Oh, I bet.
Because every darn headline had something in it that was scary, and everybody was sharing them with each other. I remember reading this one article that a woman had posted, a friend of mine, it was a Facebook post. She had shared this headline, and when I clicked on the story, that wasn't even what the story was about.
Oh, really?
Oh, So it was funny. I sent her a message. I didn't know her well. I had worked with her on a couple of events. And I sent her a message and I said, you know, probably be a good idea to read this stuff before you share it, because the article has nothing to do with the headline. And it was a really frightening headline.
Wow.
And she got angry at me.
Oh, no.
But I was like, I'm sorry. I'm just saying. I mean, I read it. I clicked on it because it was like, what the heck is this now?
Yeah, but you read through it and you're like, oh, nope, that was just trying to grab my attention.
Right. Which it did.
Into that.
You know, and it had nothing to do with the headline. And wow. I was just so disgusted by that.
But to think that's nuts. And that's still happening every single day.
Yeah. with all kinds of everything. What is it right now? They're talking about the dollar's going to have no value. And that's the big thing. The dollar's going to have no value. It's going to have no value. Well, guess what? Then we're all going to have dollars that have no value.
Yeah.
And maybe it will bring us together.
Yeah.
Rather than going into the fear over the whole thing, to just say, well, if I don't have any dollars that have any value and you don't have any dollars that have any value, we can't pay the government our taxes and the government's not going to have any value. So we're all on a level playing field.
We're all on the same page.
Yeah, we're all on a level playing field. And wouldn't that be nice for a change?
Yeah.
So it's just something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
So, and well, I guess it was 3 years ago now. Yeah, because it was late 2019. I was going to do a presentation for a networking group. And as I was driving over there, they wanted me to talk on fearless, being fearless. And because my book, Let My Legacy Be Love, talks a lot about, you know, understanding perspective versus reality and how that breeds a lack of fear when you realize this isn't real. It's just my perspective, my past experiences. So as I was driving over there, I really didn't have a presentation. I had been super busy. And I suddenly got this idea, like I was thinking about fear, right? Or you had false evidence appearing real, right? So what I came up with was fearless. So the F would be freedom, right? The E is when you examine what you're feeling as fear, then the A of the fear is you accept it so that you can then release it. Because in the acceptance piece, you can go into that place of, you know, this is nothing I can do anything about.
Yeah, that's true.
So then you can release that fear because you get to that point where you say, I can't do anything about this except say there's nothing I can do about it, which is there's such a release with that.
Definitely.
And then the L is limitless. You open up that space of limitlessness when you E and S self S sabotage.
Love that.
So there's freedom when you examine your thought, accept that you're having it, release it. You become limitless because you are ending self-sabotage.
Wow. And that says it all.
Yeah. I mean,
that helps tremendously when those fearful thoughts come up to just like kind of to look at them, accept what they are and release and let it go. And once you're able to do that, you have limitless like
opportunities
that come into your life. And those fearful thoughts, the worry thoughts are like self-sabotage, you know? Think of how many times like you were afraid to go after an opportunity and you kind of you sabotaged it in your head. I'm sure all of us have experienced
that. Oh, we've all
done
that. I'll never get it anyway, so why should I bother?
Yeah, I'm sure we've all done that. But imagine like, well, okay, but examining that for a second, how would you know that, you know? Mm-hmm. How would you know if you would never get that job or if the thing wouldn't work out for you? It's like we tell ourselves these stories and put ourselves in this place of, like, self-sabotage. It's just, like, look at the thought and address it and let it go and realize that that fear is it's nothing but just it's fake.
Right.
It's not real.
Right. Exactly.
You know, and letting that go. So then you are able to live your life and bring in opportunities.
Right. Because worry is such a giant waste of time.
It is.
It really is. And so many of us do it. I've gotten myself hives back in the old days. I've given myself hives worrying about things.
Oh, yeah. Me too. Same, like just total freak out mode. Yeah. Like I've had a time where my body was covered in hives. Like, but that it was stress over nothing that was happening.
Right.
And imagine
just
that.
Just thoughts. Like, what if I fail this test? Or what if I don't, What if I don't, you know, I go to get my driver's license, and what if I don't get my license? Well, you can go back and try again. Well, what if I fail this task, and what if I fail this grade? Well, you can go back and take it again.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. I think sometimes when we get in those worry spirals, those fear spirals, it feels like it's the end of the world. Mm-hmm. I know I felt like that in the what if kind of space, like what if this doesn't work out, and what if, and what if, and what if. Well, what if it doesn't? I'll figure it out, like I've always figured out everything,
mm-hmm.
as you guys have as well. Like in your hardest moments, you figured it out, you got through it, you lived to tell the tale.
And you're here today.
Yeah, so there you go. And the worst thing is like, I feel like in my head, I'm like, well, what if, like, I'll go to the worst thing possible. Like, what if I die? And then that happens. I'm like, well, I wouldn't be here to, like,
to worry about it.
And I think we said this in a couple episodes ago, but I love bringing that example up because I said that to somebody once and that was their response.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was you or somebody else was like, well, good thing. I mean, if you do, then you're not going to be here to even like realize that. Or whatever it is, you'll be on the other side.
Yeah.
And it was just like a funny kind of thing because that speaking that out loud and speaking those fears out loud or most of the time, they just seem so silly.
Yeah.
Because they don't come true.
Right. Exactly. Because if you started keeping track of the things that you're worrying about and then go back and mark them off when they happen, I think your list would be really very short mm-hmm. of the ones that actually happened.
Yeah. And the ones that happened, you got through them.
Mm-hmm.
And those are always good examples too for, like, when you're in those harder moments or those fearful moments, to look back at those experiences to show yourself that you got through it.
Mm-hmm.
I know I look through those moments, especially when big things are happening in life and I'm scared and the unknown is just like hitting me or us or whatever. And it just comes through. And I'm like, well, last year I was feeling this way and I got through and it was better than expected. So using those as reference can help a lot.
Right.
Too.
And sometimes things you worry about are going to happen.
Yeah.
But the number is very small.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the statistic, I think we talked about this a while back, and I can't remember even what the statistic is, but I remember going out and looking at it was like 97% of the things we worry about don't happen. And I was thinking, what if this is one of the 3%? I remember that.
Me? Yeah. Well, what if it's that small percentage and it happens and, you know, that would happen to me and whatever. Okay, so what? What if it happens?
Right.
You'll get through it.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's what it really came down to,
mm-hmm.
you know, in my mind. That's what it came down to. Look at all the stuff that you've walked through and how many things you've overcome. It's one more thing.
Yeah. And looking at
one more thing to put on the books, one more thing to journal about.
Yeah. One more thing to add to.
One more thing to grow from.
Yeah. And that's all it is. It's all growing, learning experiences in one. So even asking yourself that, like that fear that comes up and saying what would happen and filling in the blank to what would happen. Because I used to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I used to speak my fears out loud and I'd write them down and kind of say like, okay, what is the worst case scenario? And then what would happen? And all of the times that I filled in the other side of that, like what would happen, worst case scenario, it wasn't even as bad as my mind was making it. It was like, oh, I'll be embarrassed or something. Okay. Mm-hmm. Embarrassment lasts like a couple of seconds or whatever it is. And then it's gone. And then a year later from now, I'm not thinking about it. So that's like the worst case scenario or whatever of whatever that was. And when you write those fears out, and you answer what it is, it's just not as bad as you think it is. And
yeah. I think like an example of that is for me in my experience was I was always afraid I was going to forget the words when I had a solo to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was singing with a group for a while and somebody got sick that was supposed to be singing the one song. And right before we went to go walk out onto the stage, the director said, Christina, you sing O Holy Night. And I was like, okay, fine. I know that song inside out and backwards. I've been singing it since I was a little kid. No problem. Sure, right? So it comes time to start singing. And I sang like probably three lines. And all of a sudden, my mind went completely blank. I could not think of what the next word was. And the accompanist is playing along and I'm hearing music and I'm like, the words are not coming. And I'm just standing there and I just held my hand up to the accompanist like, okay, stop. And I turned around and I picked up my music off the seat behind me and I turned back and I said, you know, this is my worst fear coming true. I've always been afraid that I was going to forget the words to a song when I was singing. I said, I'm just absolutely shocked that it's O Holy Night that I've been singing for years. I apologize and we'll start over. And we started over and I sang it through and I remembered the words going through the next time because I had the paper in my hand. I didn't even look at the darn thing. And at the end of the performance, three people came up to me and congratulated me and said that a similar thing had happened to them when they were young and they never sang again.
Really?
Yeah.
And but that's so amazing how you turned it around and you did it anyways. You conquered that fear.
Yeah.
You know, then and I'm sure it wasn't as bad as you thought. Maybe you felt a little embarrassed in the moment for like a couple seconds, but you got through it.
Right. And, exactly.
Yeah.
And it helped those people because I remember the one guy saying, you know, I'm going to go back and I'm going to start singing again. I loved singing.
That's
but after
incredible.
That happened, I was so freaked out. I couldn't do it anymore. Isn't that amazing? And I thought to myself, this happened to me in front of this audience for a reason.
Yeah.
There's always a reason.
And think like just how many other people who were thinking that who didn't come up to you that you could have helped.
Yeah. Because there were like probably 200 people there.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a big group.
That is big. But I mean, that's amazing though that you turned it around and helped people.
Yeah.
I think that's
and
so.
And who would have known, right?
Yeah. And because I feel like that was a fear of mine. Forgetting words, specifically, actually, this is more recently, too, because I'm subbing in this band, and I'm a musician, if you guys haven't, I feel like I needed to put that in there for a second, but I had to learn all these songs, and I was worried, well, what if I forget the lyrics, like, similar thing, and I was going through the worries in my head. I'm like, well, that would be embarrassing. And I'm like, I'll never get asked to play with them again. And I will have to just move out of state. Like if I just mess this whole thing up, cause this band is so huge. And I was just catastrophic thinking. It was kind of hilarious saying this out loud. And then honestly, I got on stage and I forgot like a couple of the songs, but I played it off like I didn't. Like it was kind of funny, but a good thing too is like the crowd we're playing for is usually drunk, so they
right,
have no idea.
A little bit easier.
So they have no idea. I don't think the crowd you were playing for was the same thing. So that was probably like terrifying in that moment. But in my experience, like I remember getting off stage because I forgot the lyrics for a second. I repeated a verse, so no one really did notice. But even if they did notice for a second, they were dancing and having like the time of their lives. So it didn't really matter. And I got off stage and I was like, oh my gosh, I missed that verse. And the other guys who were singing too, they're like, I messed up. No, I messed that one part up. For one part, I didn't even sing. And I was like, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, isn't that
so
funny?
You don't even notice, like, when that kind of stuff happens. Even when you're experiencing that fear, it's, like, to whoever's around you, it's not, like, as bad as, like, you think it is, if that
exactly.
makes sense. So, like, when you were going through singing O Holy Night, like, people maybe like who would watch you, they didn't even think like, oh my God, that's terrible for her. They're like, wow, she's amazing. She's going to do it again. That's incredible. Right. Most of the time people aren't like shaming you or like, oh my God, she forgot the lyrics or whatever. Most of the time they're like, okay, yeah, like that's incredible. That inspires me.
Good for you.
Yeah. Right?
Rather than I would have had a heart attack and wanted to fall through the floor at that moment, and you just handled it. And mm-hmm. I think that that's really what it is in life. It's setting that example too when you're having a moment like that to be human.
Yeah.
And to just react without thinking about yourself, just thinking about the more about the audience, right? Because
yeah.
of course I was thinking about myself. Oh my God, where are the words? I can't think of the words. I can't mm-hmm. think of the next words. What am I going to do? I guess I'm going to have to start over. And to be in that place, like these people came here to hear a good performance.
Right?
And I was like, oh, well, it was just so nice to the way that people took it in the audience.
Yeah, like that's, I think they respected you. You were being human. You were being authentic.
Right.
And people respect that. It's not like it was this dramatic scene out of a movie where you like fainted or you're like, oh my God, I'm never going to sing ever again.
Right.
Exactly. Whatever. No, they're like, wow, oh my God, I can't even believe she's up there singing. I wouldn't even be able to like speak in front of a crowd. Like people are probably thinking that stuff.
Right.
They're not thinking that you missed a word. And if you missed a word, that's okay. Like it happens. Most of the people who are in the crowd, they aren't like, they haven't had that experience. So
exactly.
Even being on that stage is terrifying to mm-hmm. them. I've had people come up to me a bunch of times saying like, oh my gosh, I don't know how you just get up on that stage and like sing to people.
Belt it out.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know how you can talk to everybody. That freaks me out too.
Right.
So it's like people understand, and especially when you're being authentic in that way, I feel like your fears and whatever that stuff, if they do happen, they're not as big as we make it. Like I remember leaving that gig and I'm like, oh, it's not the worst thing in the world if I miss a word or if I forget it. It's okay.
Right.
And then you feel more comfortable getting back on that stage or back doing whatever it is that you're doing and stuff. Because I did it again. I was on stage and I forgot Don't Stop Believing. And
oh, my God.
Out of all the songs.
I know. Why is that?
This has happened to me like 2 times, I swear. And it happened once and it was embarrassing in that moment because it's such a basic like song that everyone knows. And I think I psyched myself out because I was overthinking. I'm like, I can't forget the words of Don't Stop Believing. Everybody knows it. But the crowd was singing it for me that first time. It was my very first gig. And then I had to sing it with this band that I'm subbing in now. And it was kind of hilarious because I wasn't expected to sing it. And they're like, all right, one more song. And it was Don't Stop Believing It. And I was like, here we go. And then it was funny because I did stumble on a couple words, but my friend was in the crowd, like right in front of me. And she's like, a singer in a smoky room. And then I was like, a singer in a smoky room. And she was just like feeding me the words. But I did stumble on a couple of them because she noticed that I was forgetting the words, but she was just feeding them into it. And then we were just laughing about it afterwards. And no one cared.
No one cares. That's it. So what do we say, right? Fearless. Mm-hmm. There's freedom mm-hmm. when you examine it, when you have awareness.
Yeah.
And you examine what you're thinking. You just accept it. I'm having a moment so you can release it. And then you become limitless because you have ended self-sabotage.
Yes.
Fearless. And we'll tie it up there. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, guys. And again, if you ever want to share your stories over about these topics or any of the topics that we've talked about in our episodes or any topics that you want to hear about, shoot us an email at grow@manifestingmiraclestogether.com.
Yeah.
And you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and check out our website again, www.manifestingmiraclestogether.com.
And if you liked this episode, you got something out of this episode, share it with a friend. That's how we get our stuff out there.
Yes.
And we appreciate that.
We appreciate it all.
Have a great day. And until next time.
See you guys.
See ya.